Christ our Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please be seated. I remember back in my youth that I would always, in spring and summertime, I'd always wait as the trees, the fruit trees in the backyard on the hill, would produce the fruit, and I'd have to wait for it to ripen up before I could pick an apple or a pear or a peach and bite into that sweet delicacy that God provided. Well, John the Baptist uses fruit in his sermon today from the Gospel of Luke. He calls crowds to bear fruits of righteousness. It's not the fruits that grew off of those wonderful trees. It's something else he's talking about. He gives additional details by what kinds of fruit that we are keeping with repentance. He commands us to bear such fruit is to follow by commands, to share clothing. Do likewise with food. Do not collect more than authorized, and be content with your wages. Well, by divine inspiration, St. Luke uniquely ties John's work to the chronological markers that are in the beginning of the gospel today. But he also quotes from Isaiah the prophecy about St. John's work. The other gospels' accounts, however, help us to understand something that's also a little less clear in Luke's account. Why John the Baptist kind of criticized the people that were coming out to him. You see, apparently some in the crowds that came out to him to be baptized included some leaders of the Jews who were not genuinely repentant. Perhaps they were not receiving John's baptism at all. Or perhaps they were not confessing their sins in connection to the baptism. Or perhaps they were counting on their descendants from Abraham or their descent from Abraham, in some way, that was going to get them to heaven. Or in another way, maybe their good works that they were showing. But they were not bearing fruits in keeping with repentance. So they get the scorn from John. John goes so far as to call them a brood of vipers. Brood being of snakes, the little baby snakes. You baby snakes. The reference is very clear. John's telling them, you're of the devil. You are as wicked and evil as that thing that is in the Garden of Eden. And then he warns them, and just as snakes flee before a brush fire, John warns the Jewish leaders, you better flee from the wrath that is coming, which he's repeating from Malachi, our Old Testament today, Malachi chapter 3. So certainly the Jewish leaders were not heeding John's warning, or they would not be out there with false repentance. But rather, they would be full of fruits in keeping with repentance. So it brings to question, how well do you and I do with fruits in keeping with repentance? Probably all of us have been baptized, and that's a good thing. Probably all of us have regularly confessed our sins. At least we did it in church and divine worship service. Some of us have taken pastor up and said, hey, private confession absolution is a good thing too. Probably all of us could not count on our Jewish descent to save us. But probably all of us still in some way or not are not bearing fruits of repentance either, as we should. Perhaps we do not share clothing, of which we got closets full of them. or food as we should, with pantries busting out the door with food. Perhaps we do not honor the ethics of our professions as we should. Or perhaps we repeatedly commit and confess the same sin over and over without at least desiring to do better as we should. By nature, we are all sinners who deserve nothing but death now and for all eternity, because we do not bear fruits of righteousness as we should. John the Baptist's timely warning still applies. It was at the last part of that gospel. Even now, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Every tree not bearing good fruit is being cut down and thrown into the fire. John the Baptizer's timely warning not only called them to repent, but it calls us to repent too in this Advent season. Luke tells us that John the Baptizer's command for us to bear fruit in keeping with repentance follows the quotation of the voice of the wilderness commanding its hearers to prepare a way for the Lord, to make his paths straight. He goes on to quote the voice of Isaiah at greater length. He says, every valley shall be filled, and every mountain shall be and hill shall be lowered, and the crooked ways shall be made straight, and the rough places shall become level ways. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but filling valleys, making mountains and hills low, straightening the crooked, leveling the rough places, those are hardly things that you and I can even do or accomplish. Whether they refer to improving a literal road for the coming of a king, or whether they refer to preparing a way for our hearts to the Lord, it doesn't matter. They are hardly things that you and I can possibly do. Thank God. He himself both prepares the way to our hearts and came to travel the road to Jerusalem for our sake. You see, Luke sets the stage for us, for Jesus, who will eventually set his eyes and his face firmly towards Jerusalem and the cross, where he will suffer, he will die, he will be buried, but he will raise again from the dead. And he'll do this all for one purpose: for your sins. The final line of Isaiah quoted, that all flesh may see the salvation of our God. It's fulfilled with Jesus' death on the cross and the resurrection from the grave for you and for me. So why do we have a crucifix in our midst? To remind us that's what it's all about. The very reason we come to church is because Christ crawled up on a cross for us, to shed his blood for the remission of all our sins, that we might seek after fruits in keeping with repentance. Not all of the crowds that came out to John the Baptist were like the Jewish leaders who ignored his messages. Some of the crowds, including tax collectors and soldiers, let God's law show them their sins and let the gospel show them their Savior from sin, who was Jesus. And they truly did repent, and they truly did believe, and so were forgiven. And they desired to truly bear fruits in keeping with righteousness. You and I let God's law and gospel operate in our hearts. When you and I repent and believe, we are forgiven. And the forgiveness we receive similarly works in us the desire to bear fruits in keeping with repentance. You see, as the crowds, including the tax collectors and soldiers, those people were people that the Pharisees and the scribes did not like at all. When they received the forgiveness in connection with holy baptism of John the Baptist, so also we receive God's forgiveness in the ways that God gives us to receive it through holy baptism in our lives too. God's word and sacraments are the ways he gives for us to receive forgiveness. And those are the means of grace. You want to find out how God gives his grace? He tells you, I do it through the word, and I do it through my sacraments. Forgiveness is the purpose and the result of holy baptism, where water, as we just read in the beginning of the worship service, is comprehended in God's command and connected with the water and the word, and it works forgiveness of sins and delivers from death and the devil and gives eternal salvation to all who believe. There at the baptismal font, our hearts of stone are replaced with a heart of flesh, and we are made true children of Abraham and of God. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We hurt and we bleed for those and for ourselves when we sin against God. And we seek repentance. As baptized and absolved children, we desire so to eat at the family meal. What family meal are we talking about? None other than Christ himself crucified for us. Comes and says, here's my body, here's my blood, in with and under the bread and the wine. And where there is the bread and the wine and the promise of God that is given for the remission of all sins, there forgiveness of sins is granted. And there also life is and salvation. In the sacrament, Jesus himself is present with us. He is welcoming us sinners. Through the word and sacrament, God forgives us. He purifies us. And we, in response, bring our fruits, our offerings of righteousness to the Lord like fruits in keeping with repentance. The fruit most in keeping with repentance is being prepared to hear the word of God as it is preached and as it is read and spoken to me. As David, King David said, create a new heart in me, O God. Cleanse me by your word. Create that heart of repentance. Hearing the word is part of that repentance. Turning in repentance and in faith, receiving the forgiveness of God by the means of grace through holy baptism, through the Lord's Supper. That's fruit in keeping with repentance. And we hear all the time, we Lutherans, we are saved by faith alone. But always remember, faith is never alone. There is a relationship between faith and fruits. Faith in the heart brings forth confession from the lips. Such confession is itself fruits in the keeping with repentance. And John the Baptizer describes other such fruits for us. Like we already mentioned, he said, sharing clothing, sharing food, with whatever anyone needs. You know, our congregation supports ministries to the Muslim outreach and to the Christian, the Crisis Pregnancy Center. You also are always welcome to donate to those things, to the many other possibilities that avail us. But there is more that we can do, such as maybe providing proper transportation to those who lack it to come to be coming to church, or maybe just their eyes aren't as good at night anymore and I can go pick them up and bring them. Better that we would do these works and maybe be used, maybe not. Somebody might use it and neglect it. But they'll have to answer for that. God will hold them accountable. But we should bear fruit in keeping with righteousness and not worry about that. John's call drew many people away from their ordinary interests and occupations those days because they wanted to go out and see what was this that was out in the desert in order to fix their minds on the message and the spiritual condition of their hearts. Many were turned. And then what did they do? They returned back to their daily vocation. John expected those people to go back to their interests and their occupations with hearts that are full of fruits of keeping in repentance and their lives be changed. Even vocations such as tax collectors and soldiers. You and I might check out what the duty of the table of duties in the small catechism, which teaches us what maybe fruits in keeping with repentance are. Let's respond to our vocations, whatever they are. Businessman, nurse, pastor, teacher, mother, child, grandparent. Each and every vocation has its own temptations and sins, and repentance includes at least the desire to avoid, if not actually avoiding, those sins. And when we fail to avoid those sins and so fail to bear fruits of keeping in righteousness, we nevertheless live each day with repentant hearts and faith that such sins, that is the sins that we do not do in fruits with keeping in righteousness, they're forgiven because Christ died for them. God truly has done it all for us. He prepares his own way, and he comes to us and brings about from us fruits in keeping with righteousness. Therefore, with St. Paul, we pray as he prayed in the epistle today. It is our prayer that our love may abound more and more with the knowledge and all discernment, that we may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. To the glory and praise of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all our understanding, bind and keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.